Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Normally, the Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer with an internet connection. At the website for this show, that's www.outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. Today's show is a special edition of the Shortwave Report. This past Monday was the 49th anniversary of Earth Day, an annual event to try and bring attention to climate issues. There has been increasing data showing that the human impact on the planet is creating weather and environmental disruptions. Globally, the vast majority of scientists are reporting that the human use of fossil fuels is responsible for a planet that is rapidly warming, and that this is accumulating into a crisis. In the United States, many people still consider this to be speculation. Greta Thunberg, a 16-year-old from Sweden, has spoken to this issue in various venues, including the Parliament of the European Union, the United Nations, and the COP24 International Climate Talks. She has pointed out that governments are not moving swiftly enough to counteract climatic changes that have been known for several decades. Greta has been inspiring school-age youth to go on strike every Friday for the past few months. The number of students involved is large and growing in most European countries. In the wake of these actions, groups are forming called Extinction Rebellion. This past week saw large protests and confrontations in France and London. For the most part, mainstream media is not covering these protests. At best, they report on actions that involve violence, not the questions and demands being raised. One exception is France 24, which includes English language news and opinion. It is easily available at france24.com. The following reports and interviews are from France 24, except for the first presentation by Greta Thunberg, which is a sample from a TED Talk she gave in August 2018. Greta Thunberg.
If I live to be 100, I will be alive in the year 2103. When you think about the future today, you don't think beyond the year 2050. By then, I will, in the best case, not even have lived half of my life. What happens next? The year 2078, I will celebrate my 75th birthday. If I have children or grandchildren, maybe they will spend that day with me. Maybe they will ask me about you, the people who were around back in 2018. Maybe they will ask why you didn't do anything, while there still was time to act. What we do or don't do right now will affect my entire life and the lives of my children and grandchildren. What we do or don't do right now, me and my generation can't undo in the future. People usually start talking about hope. Solar panels, wind power, circular economy, and so on. But I'm not going to do that. We've had 30 years of pep talking and selling positive ideas. And I'm sorry, but it doesn't work. Because if it would have, the emissions would have gone down by now. They haven't. And yes, we do need hope. Of course we do. But the one thing we need more than hope is action. Once we start to act, hope is everywhere. So instead of looking for hope, look for action. Then, and only then, hope will come.
Well, today is World Earth Day. 190 countries will mark the event, which aims to raise awareness of various environmental causes. For more, let's speak to Kathleen Rogers, president of Earth Day Network. Ms. Rogers, thank you very much for speaking to France 24 Monday. I'd like to begin by asking you, is what we're seeing in London, these Extinction Rebellion protests, do you think that's the right way to exact change?
Well, I think at this point we faced decades of inertia. Extinction Rebellion's really interesting because it marks the first real global or about to become global set of demonstrations around species. We are facing massive extinction, as you know, with pollinators, frogs, insects, sort of the species that underpin our food and livelihoods. And so I'm seeing the youth in particular joining in for the first time in quite a long time. And while it is very inconvenient for people in London and the rest of the world where these strikes are taking place, climate change is probably the most inconvenient thing that will ever happen to us. And so I'm glad to see the youth engaged, and I'm hoping it becomes part of something bigger as we move towards the 50th anniversary of Earth Day.
20 warmest years on record have been in the past 22 years. How can we reverse that trend?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, we're running a campaign globally with our tens of thousands of partners called Vote Earth. We have to start connecting our voting to the politicians' records on the environment, whether it's climate change or development. In both cases, it's critically important that we do that. And we're not doing it. There's not a single country on Earth that is voting because of climate change. And that has to be something that we're moving away from and moving towards people who represent us taking clear stance on climate. But in addition to that, I think there are many things that people can do. They can get engaged in their community because I think it starts there. And the more diverse this movement is, the more inclusive it is, I think that people will start to respond. We have to also vote with our pocketbooks. And so I think investments in green technologies, we certainly have the technologies to begin to reverse this, but we need the political will and investment to continue to do that. And we are seeing investments in renewables skyrocket, but it's going to take a lot more and a bigger commitment and certainty in the marketplace if we want this green revolution to really take hold. And thank God it did in the 1800s, and it was because governments joined together to promote the Industrial Revolution. And now we have the opportunity to do that again in a much cleaner way. And so the money's there. Corporations and investors and garage inventors are all ready. And with Greta and the rest of the youth joining the movement, I think you'll begin to see a substantial change. Again, we have a year to really accomplish this. 2020 is a very important year. The Sustainable Development Goals are coming due. Countries are supposed to up their climate commitments and they're slipping further back. There are 60 to 70 countries holding elections worldwide and a number, and of course our 50th anniversary of Earth Day. So we're hoping this combination of factors in what we're calling Earth Year 2020 will really make a difference. I think it's existential and it's hard for us to think about that when we go about my life or anybody else's life, but it is becoming a crisis and we're seeing people on the move, climate refugees. And so it's time. And I think 2020 represents the opportunity to sort of have the country come together or the countries come together and do something about it. Time is slipping away.
Indeed, an urgent call ahead of next year's 50th anniversary of Earth Day. Kathleen Rogers, thank you very much for speaking to France 24.
Okay.
It's the World This Week. Joining us is Bloomberg News reporter Gregory Viscusi. Welcome back as well to New Zealand journalist Catherine Fields, U.S. journalist Anne Bagot-Mary, and Richard Verly, Paris correspondent for Swiss newspaper Le Temps. We think Notre Dame is eternal. How about life on Earth? Speaking of the Catholic Church, among the pilgrims for this Holy Week, the Pope had a visitor on Wednesday, Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old Swede who sparked those Fridays for the Future youth movement protests. She held up a small sign reading, "Join the climate strike." And there's been a series of actions that have been taking place. There's over in London this Friday, more arrests of climate activists. In Paris's La Défense business district this Friday, tear gas at one point when climate activists blocked the lobby of the bank Société Générale and picketed the headquarters of other major corporations. We talk about the material aspect in part one of our discussion of Notre Dame. There's the immaterial, which is basically life on Earth, and these climate protests are not going away, Catherine Field.
No, and neither should they. The Paris Climate Accord was a perfectly good accord. It set in place where the world leaders should be moving to on climate. And the fact that some American president in particular has backtracked on that is, she should be going out there. And it's good to see that this next generation who's going to inherit an appalling climate, an appalling state of the earth, is out there, not just in London and Paris, and making it known that they are the new generation. They're not the generation of baby boomers who have just taken and taken and taken and left enormous rubbish behind. They're responsible.
It got kind of testy at the La Défense business district this morning, especially in the lobby of the Société Générale Bank, Gregory Viscuzzi.
Well, I think the lesson, at least in France, of the yellow vest is that if you want to get noticed, you do have to create some kind of a ruckus. You don't have to loot and destroy things, but you have to be somewhat disruptive in order to be noticed, because otherwise these protests weren't getting, at least in France, not that much coverage. Mm. Until this happens. And, I think that is the sad lesson. You don't have to go as far as the yellow vests and the black blocs do in destroying things, but you do have to be somewhat disruptive.
And we've heard that complaint a lot, Richard Verli, because there have been several climate protests in Paris over the past months that get completely put to the side with the images of violence at yellow vest protests.
Yes, but something has changed, I believe, and partly because of Greta Thunberg. It is the decision by many youth to take actions. And I think this is something we're seeing in all European countries. You have now a generation which associate its own destiny to climate change. And I think that's very important. And that is why, for maybe our generation, it seems strange. And personally, I'm quite amazed by the capacity of Greta Thunberg to go everywhere. But it proves something. So let's consider that maybe on that specific topic, youth protesters have more to say and more to do than our generation.
Lots of reactions on the hashtag world this week. Sometimes you just have to get off your backside and stand up. In generations to come, we'll have a lot to thank Greta Thunberg for. And Bagger Murray, it's sometimes been a little bit patronizing. Oh, yes, these youth, they're just looking at one issue. They're not looking at, they don't have a holistic approach. But as Richard was saying, this is the issue, not one issue.
I think it's probably too simplistic for people to say that the kids aren't looking at this in a realistic way. They're just getting out there making a lot of noise. There's so many of them, and their point is quite valid. That we didn't do it. We had the chance to move forward on the climate. I have a poster in my home from Earth Day 1970. So these issues have been around. And media attention has been cast on this for, what are we now, almost 50 years. And what have we done with this? I actually think it's wonderful justice to see our children turning around and being children of the 60s, that we all sort of thought we were going to agitate for social change. Now they're doing it, and they're turning on us to say, we don't like what you've done to our planet.
The young protesters that we see, led by Greta Thunberg, are mainly from Western countries. And I'm just wondering whether she will manage to spread the movement in Asia, in Africa, in other parts of the world. That will be the big challenge ahead.
Calling on politicians to face the music. Hundreds of climate change activists march towards Parliament. Their message, act now.
If the government doesn't take action right now, my children, my grandchildren, me, I face a life of extremities and misery that is unparalleled and has never been seen before.
The march marks the ninth day of protests led by the grassroots environmental movement Extinction Rebellion. Campaigners want the government to declare a climate emergency and rethink its priorities.
So this is the issue that's important today. Brexit is a small thing compared to the future of animal life, to habitat destruction and to climate change. So we need to focus on that.
It's a message the figurehead of the global youth climate movement, Greta Thunberg, passed on to British MPs. The Swedish teenager met with Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn and other opposition politicians. Prime Minister Theresa May was also invited to attend, but reportedly refused due to a cabinet meeting. Earlier, Thunberg lent her support to the Extinction Rebellion and its brand of non-violent civil disobedience.
This is an existential crisis, and we must do everything we can to stop it. And then, of course, there are many methods you can use, but I think that disruption definitely has a lot of impact.
Since last Monday, the group's headline-grabbing protests have paralysed parts of central London, with police arresting more than 1,000 people.
And for more, let's cross to London. Jane Forbes is a spokesperson for the Extinction Rebellion movement. How do the next few hours, first of all, look with that rally outside of Parliament Square?
Well, it's very disappointing. The police have now cordoned off our rebels, if you like, and so they're sitting there wondering why they can't go and see their own supposedly democratically elected MPs to talk to them, to try and encourage them to vote in Parliament for a climate emergency.
So what's the strategy? What's the plan?
Because we're a democratic movement, it's very hard to say how things are going to pan out in the longer term. And in terms of plans for the next few hours, it depends on that group of people who are sitting there. How long are they prepared to wait? Will they wait all night? Unlikely, because at the moment the police have got a special order in force that means that they must vacate the area by midnight. And if not, then more arrests will take place. And I have to say, on the way here, I did see lots of police vans full of police and lots of empty vans for taking away arrestees. So I suppose they're serious about that. Now, whether our people here are going to want to go down that road, I couldn't say. Beyond that, tomorrow, I know we've got a number of people engaging with what are called people's assemblies, whereby they all make they talk about all the issues and try to come up with some sorts of decisions about the way forward. Beyond that, it's hard to know. I think, judging by the temperature of what people are saying, what I'm hearing from people, is that they'd probably like us to leave Marble Arch by Saturday anyway. So when, maybe on Friday, I don't know. And they'd probably like some sort of a leaving ceremony so that we can leave with dignity and hopefully move on to the next stage. Now, we have obviously said to the government that we expect them to come and talk to us about this sort of thing, and we're still waiting to hear whether they're going to do that.
Jane Forbes, there was that meeting that took place with lawmakers. The Conservatives and the DUP did not attend. They were in a cabinet meeting at the hour at which that meeting took place. Nonetheless, I'm reading reports that some within your movement upbeat about the fact that there was a constructive dialogue, they said, with the politicians.
I've seen a tweet that says Michael Gove is going to talk to us. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. It might not be true.
There was this meeting that took place with opposition lawmakers. They included 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, and they discussed a range of issues, they said. Your thoughts on what can happen going forward? What are you expecting from lawmakers?
We want the lawmakers to realise that this is an absolute emergency, and then they must start to enact some laws to reduce the problems that we're facing. In particular, in this country, we've got a government that's hell-bent on lots of fracking, which means exposing lots more fossil fuel gas into our environment. Also, that they are planned to develop the third runway at Heathrow. This is not in line with any kind of climate targets at all. It just shows that they're just not interested in achieving this. And we want to see some movement on some easy wins here. And then we want to see what they're going to do about other transportation issues and energy issues. We'd like to see policies in place about maybe insulation of homes, another easy win. One of the things about Extinction Rebellion is that we're not about trying to tell government or tell anybody what we think should happen in terms of policies. We're not the experts. What we want to see is citizens and assemblies, which will make some sorts of recommendations to the government about the kinds of policies and what they want to see enacted in terms of targets and achievements. And right now, the government has not even met their own climate change greenhouse gas targets.
The mayor of London has expressed sympathy, but says that it's starting to overstretch police, limiting their ability to respond to crime, that it's taking its toll on commuters. Jane Forbes, do you take the point made by Sadiq Khan?
He's absolutely right. It's shocking. Why is the government allowing this to happen? The government really should be acting on this. It's their duty as a government to look after their subjects. The primary duty is the defence of their subjects, if you like, citizens in this country. And they have abrogated that responsibility. And on top of that, they're encouraged, all these poor policemen and women are having to stand around the streets in this hot weather in their, you know, taking overtime when they should be with their families over the Easter weekend, or working on the streets where they're really needed. Why are they out there in their hundreds, possibly even thousands, against non-violent people who are sitting there expecting the government to do what it should do? Yes, it is shocking that this is happening, and the government is to blame because the government needs to get out there and do something. And of course, while it's happened, what we have had is people wandering around Oxford Street, loving the shopping street. Tourists are having a great time. Now, of course, the traffic's back. And when the traffic's come back, we know last week cycling people came out and showed us that the levels of pollution had dropped, even though it's a high pollution type time because of the weather. And equally, looking at Parliament Square now, last week it was wonderful. The tourists and local workers were all loving being able to wander around. Now it's clamped down by the police and making everybody have a terrible time with it. Why are they doing this? The police, the government should be there supporting it. They shouldn't be clamping down on it. Sadiq Khan, the mayor, he is the one who really should be showing leadership in a city. Be a world leader. Show what can be done. Let's get rid of all this traffic in the city. Let's make the most of our public transport sector system, which is brilliant. Much more cycling. I mean, there is so much that can be done in a city that is just not being done.
Last Friday here in Paris, Jane Forbes, there were sit-ins by environmental activists outside the headquarters of major French corporations that the activists deem big polluters. At one point, things got tense. There was a tear gas that was used. And one of the people quoted was saying that if there isn't a certain amount of confrontation, we just don't get the exposure. What is the strategy, particularly when it comes to those more than 1,000 arrests we've seen so far?
It's true. We've tried all non-violent, non-disruptive tactics. I've been trying to do this for 30 years. I've been working in politics, campaigning, all sorts, and nothing has changed. And when I saw Extinction Rebellion coming along, I thought, great, finally, some organisation is going to get up and get us out there on the streets to show the government this is so important. And yes, it has. We've had to revert to civil disobedience. And again, shocking that we've had to do that, but our government, democratic, supposed to listen to its people, supposed to be there to protect us, hasn't done. And so, yes, we get out on the streets. We've been arrested. I myself have been arrested because we think it's so important to show that the government's got to make the changes. And also to bear in mind that I have to say, in this country, we have a wonderful police force. They've been doing a wonderful job. And I've had nothing but admiration for the way the police have been behaving overall here. And that we've not had tear gas. And I think we're very privileged in this country. And that therefore, we must make the most of this to ensure that our government does come to the table and does start to say that, yes, we've got to do something about it.
Political classes are not really listening. And so further action must be taken. We must act now.
Sticking to their guns and quite literally superglued to this London Underground carriage, protesters from the Extinction Rebellion group staged a demo at Canary Wharf station on Thursday, disrupting public transport in a bid to call attention to their cause.
It's bizarre. We have to do this in order for governments to listen to the scientists, to the warnings of the scientists.
The stunt comes after weeks of one-off protests, with demonstrations in central London, a door smashed at the headquarters of Shell, and a semi-nude protest in Parliament. Just a few miles away at the London Stock Exchange, a more formal-looking gathering, but the message was the same.
We are here today to highlight that there are people and businesses trading in ecological destruction in that building behind us. And we want the people in this building and around the world that are in the financial industry to understand the impact that they're having on our futures.
Police escorted some of the protesters away from the building. At least 1,000 people have been arrested since the movement started at the beginning of April. Many of them defiant in the face of what they call criminal inaction on the issue of climate change.
If the leaders don't lead responsibly for the whole, then other people are going to stand and do that.
Climate justice! No
Extinction Rebellion wants the UK government to reduce carbon emissions to zero by 2025 and is calling for a citizens' assembly as a means to achieving that goal.
We live in a strange world where the United Science tells us that we are about 11 years away from setting off an irreversible chain reaction way beyond human control that will probably be the end of our civilization as we know it. We live in a strange world where children must sacrifice their education in order to protest against the destruction of their future. Where the people who have contributed the least to this crisis are the ones who are going to be affected the most. Where politicians say it's too expensive to save the world while spending trillions of euros subsidizing fossil fuels. We live in a strange world where no one dares to look beyond our current political systems, even though it's clear that the answers we seek will not be found within the politics of today. Where a football game or a film gala gets more media attention than the biggest crisis humanity has ever faced. We live in a strange world, but it's the world that my generation has been handed. It's the only world we've got. We are now standing at a crossroads in history. We are failing, but we have not yet failed. There is still time to fix this. It's up to us.
This has been a special edition of the Shortwave Report. All but the introduction was from France 24. France 24 may be easily found at their website, france24.com. They also have a YouTube channel called France 24 English. If you have questions or comments about the Shortwave Report or could make a donation for production costs of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. The only funding this freely distributed program receives is from donations. Please help me continue this show if you can. Next week, I will return to the usual format of this program, using a variety of international broadcasters covering a different perspective of what is happening in the world. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast, get a global perspective. You could use a shortwave radio at home, simpler than you might think. However, interference from electronic devices has made it much more difficult. If you use the internet, listening globally is easier and noise-free. See the links at this program's website. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find internet links for international broadcasters. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 23rd year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.